Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, this is Travis Johnson, the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. Jump on over to patreon.com/nonprofitarchitect. Throw us $5, $10 a month. It's not going to break the bank. It's going to help support us, keep us on the air. Look for behind-the-scenes content that you're not going to catch on the podcast over on Patreon. I'm here today with Lakia Goodman. Lakia and her sister Portia are the masterminds behind the scenes of positive transitioning. Lakia, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. Thank you for inquiring about my well-being. Tell us about this great program you have with Positive Transitioning.
So Positive Transition, we are an app and web-based nonprofit organization that helps individuals returning from incarceration back to their communities. So we believe in making our community strong, and people that are returning from prison or jail, I believe that they need extra help. And in order for our communities to stay strong or be strong, we have to help basically our weakest link or people that are returning. They might not be able to be employed or find housing or, you know, even food. They need assistance. They're not that many organizations out there assisting them, or there wasn't in the past. Now there are a lot of organizations, you know, starting up that are assisting them. But that's why we started Positive Transition, to help people returning from prison. And then also we tried to make it technology based so we can help anyone anywhere, even in rural areas, and then also volunteer. So anybody can volunteer wherever they are. So that's how we started Positive Transitioning and the basic, you know, business model.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. They can get out, and as soon as they get out, they can download an app. And on your app, you have things like workforce development, education, housing assistance, family reintegration, legal assistance, medical management, and financial stability. All really the pillars of life. And it'd be wonderful if people were learning this at an earlier age, not just when they're getting out of jail, but right. I suppose that's a whole other topic. But exactly. You guys offer that, and that's fantastic.
Yes. And then we also have pre-release coaches. So we have a 24-hour resource listening line that's connected with the app, and they can call us at any time to get resources, or they can go on the app and get resources at any time. So that's how we are able to help anyone anywhere. And then we also have classrooms on the app that we're developing, just information about the nonprofit organization, of course, like fundraising and how to donate to the organization, quotes for people that, you know, like to read quotes every day. We're soon to have a recipe area to help people with, you know, health and wellness when they're getting out and they need assistance with, you know, finding recipes and things like that.
I love how you have that app and you've got that 24-hour access, but it's not, I know you and your sister split the shift, and one of you takes overnights and you take the days, but you have this whole crew of volunteers. How do you find volunteers, and how do you coordinate all their training?
Yes, so we find volunteers through volunteermatch.org. It's been great for us. We have found, I think, over like 140 volunteers from that.
140 website. Volunteers? That's nuts.
Yes, yes. And we also use two other websites that I can't remember the exact names of, but we don't get
Idealist and All yet. For the Good.
Right. Sorry, my sister does all the volunteer stuff.
That's, but that's all right.
Correct.
I took Idealist notes.
And All for the Good. So, yes, that's where we find our volunteers. We list all of our volunteer opportunities on there. And then people just respond back to those opportunities. And once they respond back, we automatically send them the application, you know, where they fill out their information. And then we bring them into our training course. We have an online onboarding that we use through Facebook Workplace. and they go through our month onboarding training where we teach them different things about reentry. We have like different games and puzzles and stuff like that just to keep them engaged. And then we also have a separate online training that they take, which is about 2 hours, just about the organization and things like that. But we use the workplace to keep them engaged with each other and try to learn each other because we're all over, you know, the nation. So we try to keep everyone talking and learning about each other and everyone's communities and things of that nature.
See, this is one of the coolest things coming from talking to you both is mydocworkplace.com. You can go in there and you can segment it out. You can have a section for training, a section for volunteers, different right. groups of coordination. You can coordinate different people in different areas. You can have an overall message board, a message board. It looks just like Facebook.
Yes, exactly like Facebook. But even better, somewhat. I mean, it does the video. It has the chat. It has a phone. People can call each other. You have a file area where you can keep all your files for that group. For instance, if we have like our transition to do a project, and we can keep all those files in one area, and then also keep the people that are involved in that group in one area and keep them informed of what's going on just for that specific, you know, group. So we like it a lot. It's been very helpful. Very helpful.
I have talked to a boatload of nonprofits, and two of the biggest things we come across is where do you find your volunteers? When you get that covered with volunteermatch.org, all for the good, and Idealist. And then how do you coordinate everything? Because you don't have to set up your own website. You don't have to set up all this stuff. You can go in, do essentially a Facebook Live in the group and talk them through exactly what you want them to know. And right. it's free. And yes. anyone in the nonprofit world, especially getting started, man, it's hard to beat free.
Yes, it's free through because we receive the G Suites free, and then whoever has G Suites gets the Facebook workplace also. So that's how we're able to get it for free too.
That is really cool. That is absolutely amazing. What do you think has been one of your biggest challenges in growing this nonprofit?
At first, it was volunteers, you know, keeping them engaged. We'll get volunteers, but because we are virtual, it's hard to keep them engaged and on the platform and making sure that we're giving them enough work. And we have work, but just making sure that we're, you know, assigning the task, knowing who's available, who's not available. Sometimes because we're virtual, we allow them to come and go as they want. So they can volunteer 1 month and then maybe they're off for vacation the next month. So they can't volunteer, but that's fine. You just come back, you know, when you get off vacation and log in and you can see what's going on and what has been going on and, you know, be able to keep up with the organization, you know, what's, you know, happening in the organization. Also the board, that's been, I know a lot of nonprofits have a difficult week with their board. The board also has a group on there so they can, you know, we keep in contact with the board, let them know what's going on at all times. They can even log on and see what's going on in the general area, you know, and be able to talk to volunteers. So we always like to have that communication between everybody that's working together, you know, to run the organization and to help others in their communities.
So. I think that's amazing. I've been on a couple different boards and getting together always seemed like the hardest part. I was in Oklahoma City at the time and driving across town to the north side to meet at a board, an official board meeting in a board setting, it was kind of hassle.
Right.
I love seeing the people. I love what we're talking about. I had a great time. But like getting there, like it took me a hot minute. And the yeah. same with the other board that I was on. Eventually, one of the boards I was on, we went to a group like Facebook calls or something at one point. Right. I even forgot that one was coming up. I was at a networking group at a Chamber of Commerce talking about what it is that I do. And my phone buzzed and I was like, oh, look, it's my video board room. I better answer this. And they had come to expect that kind of shenanigans from me just on, you know, based on who I am as a person. But we're still able to get stuff done. We're still providing each other a lot of value and still move the needle forward, which is the most important.
Yes. You don't realize the time that you save by going virtual online. You don't have to worry about driving there, parking and all that. You just pull up your screen and now you're at a meeting. So I like that. you can be at home, meaning you still handle cooking or whatever you have to do and taking care of your family, but also, you know, helping with the community and being a part of a nonprofit organization. So,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I feel with what we're doing right now. We're on a Zoom internet conference across the Atlantic Ocean and really in the Middle East. And I think you're in Georgia. Is that right?
I'm in Ohio now. Yes.
Ohio now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get confused. Yeah. Those are different states, I understand. But I mean, it is amazing what we can do with technology. You know, if I go on vacation, if I wanted to, I could conduct interviews while I'm on vacation.
Right.
I'm at the pyramids, or I'm in Austria, or I'm in Budapest looking at, you know, the second largest parliament in the world. I can hop on a quick call, and before you know it, I'm recording a podcast, and I'm able to do the things that I need to do. I can on holiday and New Year's in Dubai with my family and hop on and answer a message from my, you know, my production company. Yeah. It is just phenomenal to be in the digital space. Now I have to worry about commutes and all the other nonsense, finding childcare, all that stuff.
Definitely.
is just the best. What do you do for fundraising? Because I imagine it's a little different for, having people that are returning from prison. That's not exactly everyone's number one thing they want to donate to.
Right.
All the stigma and connotations and all that stuff, which I think is just garbage. But how do you fundraise for this?
So we're, doing the traditional fundraising. We have like Amazon account and all those good things that help people donate. But then we also are hosting an event called We Are the Spark this summer, where we're trying to raise funds and also get out into the community with other nonprofit organizations, and so they can set up booths, talk about their organization, and we can all try to work together, you know, as nonprofits helping the community, basically serving the same people, you know, making sure that they're just covered at all times. And then also we have the workforce development area, and that is how we're going to also fund our organization, by starting businesses where we help train them, but then they also work to earn money. And then we also earn funds to help run the nonprofit organization, that are unrestricted funds to help do the things that we know that needs to happen. Because a lot of times grants and things like that, of course, we're also applying for grants, but sometimes they don't cover all the expenses that somebody might need. For instance, if they might need, money to start their own business, that a grant might not cover that, or transportation, or just food. A lot of grants don't cover food. So we want to be able to provide those things that, all the traditional funding and fundraising might not let you pay for an individual when they still need that assistance. And that might be like the roadblock that they, need to get by. They don't have enough food each month. I mean, money for food each month. So if we can help them with that, that could take a stress off their back, and they might not go out and commit another crime by stealing, out of a grocery store or something like that, where they end up back in jail. So those are the ways that we plan to fund the organization, and then also help the communities by providing that person with a job. And then, just the community, some of the workforce development that we want to do is also giving back to the community. For instance, like if we have an auto mechanic shop, they will train in that auto mechanic shop, but then we will also help single mothers or people with disabilities or things like that, or other people like in the community that can't afford, the regular auto mechanic to go to their place and work on their car. So we're trying to find ways that, we're providing our clients a job, but then also assisting the community too in different ways. So it all kind of stays a nonprofit organization helping the community.
This is quite the undertaking, and you and Portia have done beautifully. I can't help but notice a lot of similarities between these different areas you have focused on here and what other groups it might apply to. This would be fantastic for veterans returning back from deployment. This would be fantastic for foster children aging out of the foster care system.
Yes.
All of these things are just wonderful. I actually have a connection for you for a couple of those people, which I'm sure would be very interested in what you do and how you do it. There's nothing more valuable to any organization than the size of their network.
Right. We definitely want to partner with other nonprofit organizations. That is, you know, the bulk of our resources is, of course, nonprofit organizations. And we know we can't take all this on ourselves, but we just want to be like a hub where if people call in and need assistance, we could say, oh, there's a nonprofit right down the street from you that's, you know, that can assist you. Here's their name and, you know, number, and let us know when you contact them. And we might follow up with that, you know, organization, say, hey, did such and such contact you? And they'll say, no, yes. And then, you know, we can always go back to that person and like, well, were you able to get assistance? You know, just to keep that line of communication open and for everyone to know about, you know, what's going on in their communities and who can assist them. Because I'll find out about organizations that I never knew about, and they probably were there 10 years, you know, and it's just more like having that information available so nonprofits can fill up their classes and be able to spend their money correctly because they are helping everybody, and then for individuals to get the assistance that they need. So that's definitely why we have the resources in the app so people can find, you know, resources in their area.
Yeah, you know, what you're describing is almost the same thing as I talked to the leader of Foster 360, Candace Leozu, and she found that there's a ton of foster care and aging out of foster care resources in the greater Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona area. But what they didn't have was someone to, you know, take the person by the hand and walk them through, help them navigate through all the different things that were available to them. And they found a great sponsor in the United Way Mesa to, you know, be under their umbrella and actually be a navigator and not really have another add-on program, but to help them get through the things that they need to do. And it sounds exactly like the wonderful things that you're doing with Positive Transitioning.
Yes. And once a person, if they need additional assistance beside a, you know, quick reference, we also can assign them a life coach that can help them through their entire process and help them find employment, housing, basically make a plan for them specifically that they can use to assist, you know, with their reentry process. And we have a year-long reentry program, but, you know, we always call it, we're life coaching for life. So if you make it through that year and you still need assistance, we're always here to help. So that's what we believe in. Just being a helping hand.
That's wonderful. This is really kind of a great way to use your day job. You're a nonprofit CPA by day and a nonprofit runner by night.
I think it's great too, because as a nonprofit CPA, I get to see all the different organizations. I've worked with Foster independent living program. So I understand, you know, the things that people are probably missing or that they're, you know, not able to pay for and things of that nature. So if you do come together as nonprofits working together, you'll be able to, you know, maximize the assistance that you can give individuals. And I think that's like really what we're trying to do, make sure that, you know, there's so much money out here for nonprofits. There's so much resources and information, but people are still getting left out. And it's just, how do you make that communication happen where, you know about every nonprofit in your area, or, you know, they know about you that you need assistance. So I think, and then data going virtual, we found out that we can, you know, basically know any data that we need to know, how many people are calling us, how many people we're assisting, who's clicking on our ads, who's clicking on our Facebook posts, you know. So that data also helps with providing services and who really needs services. So,
yeah, it's a great way to track to see who needs it when they come out, which ones are they clicking on more, which ones need some updating, and how that matters.
Right.
What is your vision for Positive Transitioning over the next few years?
I don't even know the right word, but I think big, I guess.
You're a mathematician, right? You're a mathematician, a magician, and a visionary all in one.
Right. Yeah. So I guess how I see it is basically it's going to run itself, because we do have the virtual workplace. We have volunteers. I can see volunteers all over the nation and actually the world. We have volunteers in India, Cambodia, England, Australia. So just seeing people just helping each other all over with really whatever resources, because, you know, the app and the web-based life coaching can help anybody with any situation that they're going, you know, going through. We just saw that incarceration of people returning to the community is the first, I think, people that we need to help. They might need the most assistance, but at the end of the day, our programs can really help anyone that needs assistance. So when anybody calls, we answer their question. We don't had a mother call and she needed, her daughter needed assistance with drug and substance abuse. She wasn't a felon or anything, but she just needed help. And so we helped her find a place in her area and that her daughter can go to get drug and substance abuse. So we really try to help anyone. Of course, as a nonprofit, they want you to focus on one area. So that's where we have started our focus on.
Yeah, they want you to meet your mission, and I think that's very important. Right. But, you know, sometimes it's okay to help other people, too.
Right.
Well, Lakia, it's been great talking to you. Where can people find you? Where's the best place, the number one place you want people to get a hold of you?
First off, our website, www.positivetransitioning.org. You kind of can get links to everything, you know, where from there. We're on Facebook. Where are we? Everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Soon to be Snapchat. Like I said, we have our app. So we're on the Google Play Market right now. Soon to be on the Apple Market in first quarter of 2020. So you kind of can find us anywhere online. Our headquarters is in Columbus, Ohio. So we'll be having events here to start off with. But because we do have volunteers everywhere, we plan to be everywhere eventually. And we're getting our volunteers set up so they can be in their community doing positive transitioning work.
I love that. Collaboration over competition.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Lakia. Exactly. It's been great having you on the show.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.